Buckle up, because today we're diving into the world of brain imaging, and specifically, we're talking about the Kernel Flow 2. Ever wish you could just peek inside someone's head and see what's going on? Well, this isn't quite mind reading, but it's getting pretty darn close.
It really is incredible how far we've come. I mean, this technology used to be stuck in these specialized labs, you know, requiring this bulky, expensive equipment, right? And now we have the Kernel Flow 2, a wearable headset. And they're saying it's going to make brain imaging way more accessible.
A headset? Seriously? Like something you'd wear to, like, listen to music?
Exactly. That's the idea. It's designed to be, like, practical and comfortable. And that opens up a whole world of possibilities. We can finally start to understand the brain in real-world settings.
But no more, like, strapping people into those giant metal tubes. That's a game changer for sure. Okay, let's back up for a sec. What exactly is the Kernel Flow 2? What makes it so special?
So the Kernel Flow 2, it's this brain imaging device. It uses a technology called time domain functional near infrared spectroscopy, or TDFNIRS for short, if you want to sound fancy.
TD what now? Okay, we've got to break that down.
Right, of course. Basically, TDFNIRS uses light to track how much oxygen is in the blood in your brain. So by looking at how this light is absorbed and scattered, we can actually make a map of brain activity.
Hold on, light. Are we talking about, like, shining a flashlight through someone's skull here?
No, not quite. It uses near-infrared light, which can pass through your skull and scalp safely. The Flow 2, what it does is it emits these incredibly precise pulses of light. And the way the light interacts with blood, that's what gives us this, like, window into brain function.
Okay, that's wild. But haven't there been other systems using light to study the brain? What makes the Flow 2 so different?
You're right. The idea of using light for brain imaging, yeah, that's been around. But the Kernel Flow 2, it's on a whole other level. Like, older FNIOS systems, they only had a few sensors, which meant they could only capture a tiny bit of what the brain was doing. It's like trying to understand this whole symphony, but you can only hear a couple of notes, right? Mm. Now, the Flow 2, on the other hand, it's packed with over 3,500 source detector pairs. It's like listening to that same symphony, but now you've got the full orchestra, you know?
Wow, 3,500. That's a serious information upgrade. So more sensors, clearer, more detailed picture of the brain. Mm. But can this thing actually see deep into the brain structure?
And that is the beauty of time domain FNIRS, or TDFNIRS as we're calling it. It's different. See, traditional FNIRS, that mostly just looks at the surface. But TDFNIRS, it can actually peer deeper into the brain. It's like the difference between, say, looking at a map versus exploring a 3D model of a city and with all those sensors. The Flow 2, it gives us amazing depth sensitivity.
So we're not just, like, scratching the surface here. We're getting a real in-depth look at the brain in action. This is already sounding like something out of a sci-fi movie. But before we get too carried away, how do we know this thing actually works? How do we know the data it's collecting is reliable?
Well, that's where the rigorous testing comes in. I mean, the researchers behind the Flow 2, they really wanted to make sure it was up to snuff. They put it through this battery of tests. We're talking three major validation protocols, BIP, MedDPOT, and Neurope test.
Whoa, hold on there. Those names sound like they're straight out of a tech manual. Can we get a layman's version? Yeah. What were they actually testing?
Okay, yeah. Think of it like putting the Flow 2 through these challenges, right?
Okay.
We're testing its limits. So the BIP protocol, that's like a basic checkup, you know, making sure all the sensors are working right, giving us good data.
So did it pass its physical? Is this brain scanner in tip-top shape?
Mm. Oh, it passed with flying colors. In fact, it did just as well, if not better, than some of the existing research-grade systems out there. And remember all those detectors we talked about. That's what lets the Flow 2 see deeper into the brain. Older systems just can't do that.
Okay. So basic checkup. Check. What about those other tests, the MedEPO and in EuroPatute? What were they looking for there?
Right. So MedPOT, that one's all about accuracy. They use these things called phantoms, which are basically like artificial brains. They have these known properties, right? And so the goal is to see if the Flow 2 can actually measure those properties accurately. Kind of like when you test a scale, you use a known weight to make sure it's giving you the right reading, you know?
Makes sense. So it's all about making sure the measurements are spot on. How the Flow 2 do?
Nailed it. It was able to accurately measure how light is absorbed and scattered. And that's crucial for getting those precise readings of blood oxygen levels.
Two for two. This Flow 2 is on a roll. But you mentioned one more test, the EuroP8. That one sounds kind of intense. What's the story there?
Yeah, that's where things get really interesting. The NeuroPeat protocol, that one is all about depth sensitivity. Imagine, like, a game of hide and seek, right? But instead of people, we're talking about these tiny objects. And they're hidden at different depths within this special liquid. And this liquid, it mimics brain tissue. And the goal, to see if the Flow 2 can find those objects just by how the light interacts with them.
So it's like a high-tech treasure hunt for brain scanners. Yeah. And the Flow 2 found the buried treasure.
It did. And this is where it gets really impressive. The Flow 2 could detect those tiny objects even when they were buried deep, like over 20 millimeters down. That's pretty remarkable, especially for something that's non-invasive. It just goes to show this thing can capture brain activity from much deeper regions than we could before.
Wow. Okay, 3 tests, 3 wins for the Kernel Flow 2. Sounds like it can definitely handle itself in the lab. But let's talk real-world applications. Can it handle the complexities of an actual living, thinking brain?
That's the ultimate test, right? And the researchers, they definitely didn't shy away from it. They wanted to see how the Flow 2 performed in vivo, meaning in a living organism, of course. And they started with something surprisingly simple, a breath hold test.
Wait, really? Holding your breath tells us something about how the brain works. That doesn't seem like the most exciting experiment.
I know, it sounds kind of basic, right? But it's actually pretty clever. See, when you hold your breath, the carbon dioxide levels in your blood go up. And this causes the blood vessels in your brain to dilate, which then leads to these changes in blood flow and oxygenation, all of which the Flow 2 can pick up on.
Oh, I get it. So it's like giving the brain's circulatory system a little workout, and then we get to see how it responds. So the Flow 2, it could track those changes.
Perfectly. It showed this clear increase in blood oxygen levels during the breath hold. And then, of course, a decrease when they started breathing normally again. It even tracked these subtle heart rate fluctuations, which is important because it helps us separate brain signals from all the other noise going on in our bodies, you know?
Okay, so the Flow 2 aced the breath holding test. But what about something a little more, you know, engaging? Did they, like, have people solve puzzles or watch funny cat videos while wearing it?
Well, they did test more complex brain activity. Yeah, in one experiment, they had participants listen to stories, and then they had them listen to just random noise, all while wearing the Flow 2. They wanted to see if it could tell the difference between those two types of auditory input, you know?
So could it? Did it show different brain activity patterns for, like, stories versus random noise?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, when the participants listened to stories, the Flow 2 showed this clear increase in activity in the auditory cortex. That's the part of the brain that processes sound.
Wow. So it's like it's like the Flow 2 can actually tell when a brain is really paying attention to a story, you know, as opposed to just hearing random sounds. What else did they test?
They also did this classic finger tapping task. It's a really simple way to study motor control. You need that coordination between your brain and the muscles in your hand to tap your fingers in a controlled way, right?
Right, right. So tap your fingers, see what part of the brain lights up. Makes sense. What did they find?
Well, just like they expected, the Flow 2 showed this increase in activity in the motor cortex. That's like the command center for movement, right? But here's the really cool part. The activity was really specific. It was localized to the opposite side of the brain from the tapping hand.
Wait, what? So, like, if you're tapping with your right hand, the left side of your brain lights up. Why does that happen?
Exactly. It's all because of how our brains are wired. You see, the left hemisphere controls the right side of the body and vice versa. And the fact that the Flow 2 picked up on this, it just goes to show how accurate and precise it is.
That's amazing. We've got this device that can track brain activity during all sorts of things. Breath holding, listening, even finger tapping. But those tests, they all focused on, like, individual actions, right? Can the Flow 2 show us the bigger picture, like what the whole brain is doing at once?
That's where it gets even more exciting. Remember all those detectors we talked about and that amazing depth sensitivity? Well, they're not just there to measure individual points of activity. They actually let researchers build a 3D image of what's going on inside the entire brain.
Whoa, hold on. 3D brain imaging with a headset.
Yeah.
That sounds like something straight out of Star Trek. How does that even work?
So it's called time domain diffuse optical tomography, TDDOT for short. Basically, it's all about analyzing how long it takes for light to travel through different parts of the brain. And by using the data from all those sensors, we can build this, like, dynamic three-dimensional map of brain activity.
So instead of just seeing these, like, individual points of activity, we're getting a full-on high-definition picture of the whole brain in action. That's incredible.
Exactly. And the detail is incredible compared to older methods. It's like upgrading from a blurry old photo to, like, a high definition movie, you know? We can see which areas of the brain are talking to each other, how activity flows from one region to another. It's really like watching the brain think in real time.
This is seriously amazing stuff. But it makes you wonder, what does all of this mean for the average person? Like, why should we care about 3D brain imaging with a headset?
Well, the potential applications are huge. For one, it could totally revolutionize how we diagnose and treat brain conditions. Imagine having this level of detail without needing that bulky and expensive equipment. This could be a game changer for conditions like stroke, dementia, even mental health disorders.
So instead of relying on like subjective reports or waiting for symptoms to become really serious, we could potentially see what's happening in the brain much earlier and get people the help they need faster.
Precisely. This technology, it has the potential to lead to earlier diagnoses, more targeted treatments, and ultimately better outcomes for patients. It could change everything we know about brain health.
This has been an incredible deep dive. The Kernel Flow 2, it really does feel like this massive leap forward in how we understand the brain, from its incredible accuracy and depth sensitivity to its potential like revolutionize healthcare. It's clear that this technology is going to be a game changer. Who knows what amazing discoveries await as we continue to explore the inner workings of our own minds. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time for another deep dive into the mysteries of the universe, both inside and outside our heads.